You can three restaurants, three places that you can see from where we meet. So it's if you don't have something that you bring from home, you can just stop one of those places. Just
stop there, because that's what I will often do right there along the strip. So it's a good time. Mm-hmm. So we invite everybody to come. I just love hearing Lola's voice.
I know, so, I love it in
that
there.
That is so cool. Welcome back. This is hour number two of Living the Good Life. This is Pastor Jim Ellsbury. I'm Associate Pastor with Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater. I am joined in the studio by Nan, and I'm joined via radio by Betty in Indiana, so that's a wonderful thing. We've been talking about God's great love for us and the wonderful love that he has. And it's just, you know, incredible. And I just want to remind our listeners of our prayer ministry. We have an ongoing prayer ministry. Betty is on it. I'm on it. And Shell, when you send in your prayer request to prayers@bohmglobal.com, one of us will pick up the prayer request. We'll write up a prayer so that we all can be on the same page as we pray this. And then we send it out to our prayer team. And one thing about us, we expect answers. And we've been getting answers. We've been sending out some prayers for actually some of our church family members and getting some responses back, you know, some praise reports. So God is moving, and we do believe that. We don't pray just to say, oh, we're praying for you. We pray because we believe God is going to move and God is going to answer. And I always say every time I'm on the show that when God answers your prayer, please let us know, because I do keep track of those. Kind of just a growing journal of God answering our prayers. And that's a wonderful thing. And so keep listening. We are going to be talking about some of the prophecies in the Old Testament. So if you have your Bibles, you might as well get them ready to go to Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53. And we'll be starting in those two places after we hear this song by Lamb, the Sacrifice Lamb.
Have you ever heard Messiah has come? It says in his word, everyone, atonement he made, iniquity bore, that we can find life with him evermore. The sacrifice lamb has been slain, its blood on the altar a stain, to wipe away guilt and pain, to bring hope eternal. Salvation has come to the God's only Son to the world, Jesus the One for the world, Yeshua is here. The prophets of old speak much of Messiah. His death is foretold, the purpose is clear. Isaiah did say, 'twas for an atonement to give us a way.
that leads not to death. The sacrifice lamb has been slain, his blood on the altar a stain to wipe away guilt and pain, to bring hope eternal. Salvation has come to the world, God's only Son to the world, Jesus the one for the world, Yeshua is He. So brothers of mine, look not to yourself, for we are but one, we all need His help. We've broken the law, but He paid our debt, that we can find life by Yeshua's death. The sacrifice lamb has been slain, His blood on the altar a stain, to wipe away guilt and pain, to bring hope eternal. So final atonement has come and brought us new hope by God's Son. If you will believe, Yeshua, you'll know.
What a great song. Oh. So, Psalm 22. This was written by David. And the first verse is one that Jesus quoted from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cried by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I have no rest. Yet you are holy, O you who are enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted, they trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were delivered. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. Jesus quoted the first line of this psalm. I believe everything Jesus did had a purpose. And yes, at that point he was indeed forsaken of the Father because he placed on himself the sin of the world. And yet, he quoted this psalm in particular, I think, because there were so many teachers of the law and Pharisees there. They would have immediately recognized what Jesus was saying. They would have known the psalm and probably had the psalm memorized. He was drawing their attention to the psalm for this very purpose. Because down in verse 6, "But I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All who see me sneer at me. They separate with a lip. They wag the head, saying, he trusted in God, in the Lord, that he would deliver him. Let him rescue him, because he delights in him." Those were the exact words that people used to mock Jesus when he was on the cross. In verse 8 there, you can read it in Matthew 27, 43. People use those same exact words to mock Jesus. He trusted in God for God to deliver him. If that's the case, then deliver him, God. You say you're the Messiah, come down off the cross. And yet that's the one thing Jesus would not do, was come down off that cross. And this is a question for Betty and Nan. Did the Romans and the Jewish leaders take Jesus' life from him? This is a trick question.
Nan first.
I was like, can Betty first? No, he laid down his life. I mean, they killed him. They tortured him. They killed him. But he laid down his life. He didn't have to do that. He could have called a legion of angels down. But yeah, he loved us so much. Pardon me?
That's what he said in the garden.
Yeah. And, you know, tag Betty, you're it.
What was the question?
Did the Romans and the Jewish leaders take Jesus' life?
No. It was prophesied even before Jesus was born that he would die, that he would, there would be a man that would come and would save the world. And I believe that in those prophecies that were given before before Jesus was born were true. I believe they're still true today, that when you say the Romans, they took him, they did what they said would be done. They beat him, they crucified him, they did everything that, you know, humanly possible to degrade him. So that's a very tricky question, Pastor Jim.
Well, the point I was making is Jesus in the book of John says, I have the authority to lay it down. I have the authority to take it up again. He's talking about his life. You don't take it from me. It's not my time yet.
Gave it willingly.
Yeah, he gave it willingly. He could have, like Nan said, in the garden called 12 legions of angels. So we're talking, you know, at least 72,000 angels who could have easily gotten rid of that small little detachment of soldiers. He could have come down off the cross. But he came to do the Father's will, which was, like you said, Betty, to die. He came to die for us. And, you know, he submitted, I guess you could say, to their judgment willingly, because he said, you know, I lay down my life. And how many times do we read in the Gospels that he walked through their midst, or, you know, he just, you know, got away because it wasn't his hour, it wasn't his time. When the time was right, yes, Jesus did go to the cross. And then in Psalm 22, verse 14, and this is such a graphic portrayal of crucifixion. And David wrote this about 1,000 years before it happened. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. And you lay me in the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. All this happened when Jesus went to the cross. Said, you know, I'm poured out like water, hanging there after having been beaten. Hanging there on a cross, all his bones are out of joint. And this is going to be a little graphic, but the reason that is because if you did not hold yourself up by the nail that went through your feet, you would start dislocating your bones because it was just your dead weight hanging there. Mm. So all his bones were out of joint. His heart is like wax. It's melted within me. Scientifically, what happened, and I read this years and years ago, the fluid starts to collect in the pericardial sac around the heart. And what did the soldier do to make sure Jesus was dead? Remember, they broke the legs of the two others in the book of John. We hear that just to make sure they were dead before sunset. Jesus was already dead, but to make sure, the soldier pierced his heart with a spear, and out came water and blood. And that's another prophecy in Psalm 34. It says, not one of his bones will be broken. And that's actually, and we'll talk about this at Passover, the Passover lamb, when it was cooked, when it was roasted, it was roasted whole, and none of its bones could be broken. So that fulfilled a prophecy as far back as Moses, that none of Jesus' bones were broken, but his side was pierced. And Zechariah says, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. And John quotes that prophecy in chapter 19 of the book of John. And, you know, they divide my garments. They cast lots for my clothes. That's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. That same thing, the soldiers just cast lots for his clothing. I mean, right here we have just, what, 5-6 prophecies fulfilled just in this section right here that Jesus fulfilled on the cross. Because truly, not everybody was going to have, especially the words from verse 8, spoken about them. Okay? Certainly the two men, the two robbers hanging with Jesus, nobody said that about them. And the casting lots, we don't hear. I mean, I'm sure that happened in some cases, but certainly they cast lots for Jesus' clothing. That was recorded by all the gospel writers. And it's amazing. David, I can't imagine what must have been going through David's mind. Because it almost seems like he saw a vision of the crucifixion. And just to know that he saw that is kind of, it's incredible. And I don't know if he was given the revelation that was going to be his descendant hanging there on the cross. Mm. But I believe, you know, David prophesied all that. And it's just such an amazing thing. And then a few hundred years later, you know, Isaiah comes along, the rest of the prophets, and all of them mentioned something about this. And Betty, you had mentioned basically, you know, the second coming of Jesus. We have all those prophecies yet to be fulfilled. And this is an exciting time because little by little they are getting fulfilled. But as we look at what Jesus has done, you know, he went to the cross. He fulfilled these prophecies here. And I can't imagine what it must have been like for someone who had been in intimate fellowship with the Father from eternity past. And, you know, we forever past, basically. And to have that fellowship broken. You know, I do believe that on the cross, Jesus was forsaken by the Father. The Father turned his back on Jesus for that brief period of time because Jesus became the sacrifice lamb. And every sin that had ever been committed up to that time, starting with Adam and Eve, and every sin that would ever be committed till the creation of the new heaven and new earth, fell upon Jesus. Unimaginable. Unimaginable. And only God could have done that. Only God could have done that. Jesus was, of course, fully human and fully divine. Being fully human, he could identify with us. He could take our sins upon himself. Being fully divine, he became the perfect sacrificial lamb because he himself never committed sin. And in the Old Testament, you would always lay your hands on the animal that was to be sacrificed so that your sin would be transmitted to that animal and the innocent animal would die in your place. Jesus did that for each one of us, every one of us, for every single one of our sins. You can be free, listeners. You can be free of whatever it is that's holding you. The theme is, living free, free to live. Jesus can do that because he has taken away every barrier between himself and you. He has taken away every barrier because he went to the cross. You are already reconciled to God. All you have to do is accept it. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you're reconciled. By his death, he reconciled us to the Father. And now we implore you, be reconciled to God. Come back. God's not holding anything against you, now or ever. All you have to do is accept it. And I know sometimes that's one of the scariest things in the world, because it is a free gift. But there's nothing you can do to earn it. All you have to do is accept it and allow God to do the work he wants to do in your life. I want to take time now for the song Jesus Messiah by Chris Tomlin. Oldie but a goodie from Chris Tomlin. It's a great song. I believe Nan has a poem for us.
A poem. My son took the sin upon himself. He is here for you to begin your life. Your spiritual life is the true one. Upon him you can leave your strife. You can hope in this blessedness. He can live in your heart. Of this gift will you accept? Of this blessed life will you start? What will you do, precious one? Jesus gave his life for you. You learned this today. What with this information will you do? Will you accept this wonderful gift?
Amen. 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 I like that. Thank you, Nan.
Sure. Thank him.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. So sorry, I got started preaching again. I'm finding out I've always fashioned myself, Betty, to be like a teacher, but I found out there's like that little preacher inside of me just waiting to get out sometimes. So I think he was sneaking out just then too. But I want to jump over to Isaiah 53, and it's a fairly familiar passage, I think, with everyone. It's again full of prophecies regarding the death of Jesus and his resurrection. And in verse 3 of Isaiah 53, it says, "He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." I love those verses because there's so much, there's so much in there. Our whole redemption is in these verses. You know, our griefs or our pains he himself bore, our sicknesses, our sorrows, our sins, everything that affects us, Jesus took to the cross. And, you know, some people think, well, he just died for my sins. Well, there's so much more to it. Yes, he died to redeem you from your sins. But your pains, your sorrows, your sicknesses, all of that, emotional, physical, spiritual, all that healing happened at the cross. What does that mean to you, Betty? Then I'll ask Nan.
Jesus is my everything. He was bruised for my for me to be healed. And I am healed. Once I was lost, now I'm found. He took everything upon himself so that we could be free. And sometimes I believe, and I was just, as you were talking over these last few minutes in the song, God revealed to me in such a simplistic way that some people don't understand Isaiah 53. And he wants, and it's just so, so cool how he does it. He says, Isaiah 53, he did for me. I mean, it sounds so simplistic, but I look back over the 30-some years that I've been a Christian, and it's still, I cannot fathom to this day, and I've told Pastor Marcia this, I've told my daughter this, and I think I've even told you guys this. I can't fathom a father, and I get very emotional when I say this, that he sent his son to die for me. Who am I? Well, he told me this many years ago. You're my child. And we've talked about this over these last hour and a half. Is you're my child, Betty. And I want the listeners to understand that maybe you don't comprehend what Jesus did on that cross. Just understand that he did it for you. He's your healer. He's your protector. He's your comforter. And all of the things that he did that rips and tears you apart physically, emotionally, spiritually, he did on that cross for you. And that he can take those away from you and make you whole, make you free, just like the series that we're talking about. It is so refreshing and energizing to know, to be free of worry, doubt, and fear, that he did that when he was suspended on that cross. He did that for you. And he did it for me. He did it for your family. He did it for all of us that are living and breathing. He did that for us.
Amen. Amen. There's a bit of preacher in you, too. Just so you know.
Okay, thanks. it's when you have such a burden for people, mm-hmm. It becomes so apparent of what Jesus has done for me and where he's brought me from and where he's taken me to, is you want that for everyone. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's exactly... It is a burden, and we should have that burden. I talked in the last hour about, you know, praying for people and how much God loves, you know, God loves everyone, and yet people still don't respond. And I agree. It's like Isaiah 53, it just puts it all together. I mean, you go through this, and boom, this happened to Jesus. This happened to Jesus. This is what he did for us. I mean, it's like, and you can write this down, Nan. It is my favorite chapter in the entire Bible.
Not one of the, you but
know,
the.
This is my favorite chapter in the entire Bible. Because it's like what Betty said, Isaiah 53, what he did for me. And that's so true. I mean, everything that we need, he took to the cross for us.
You know, what I was thinking a while ago, as was affectionately known at Beacon there for a while after I came to Beacon, how I was running from God, and we affectionately called me Jonah. Mm-hmm. And I was running from God, and everywhere I ran, I found him, you know. But it's like, I just sometimes cannot comprehend that. In the midst of my running away, he still loved me. That's why he was chasing after me. There's a song that Canaan Band sings called Chasing After Me. And I remember I was set on with my computer, and I would just play that and play that and play that and play it and play it, because it just touched my heart so much. This was after I turned back to him. It touched my heart so much that he was chasing after me. He loves me. He loves me that much. And he loves everyone else the same way, too. And it's such a powerful love, such a powerful thing.
Amen. Amen. And brought to mind Romans 5. 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in verse 10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. I mean, that kind of sums up what we've all been saying. We were enemies, and Jesus died for us. How much more shall we be saved by his life? Because it didn't end on the cross. Obviously, you know, Jesus did not just stay dead. Otherwise, everything he did would not have mattered. Without the resurrection of Jesus, none of this would have mattered. Because what happened is, Jesus himself prophesied 3 days, 3 nights, like Jonah was in the belly of the fish, so the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. And so he was. Paul writes that Jesus descended to Sheol, and there he took the keys of hell and death from the devil. He took those keys. Satan lost his power, which is why the writer of Hebrews said, you know, he's freed us from the fear of death, because Jesus has the keys because of his resurrection. Because he rose again on the third day and took his blood before the Father, which is why he told Mary, don't cling to me. I've not yet ascended to my Father. He needed, as our high priest, to ascend to heaven, to take his blood before the Father. And the Father saw that blood and he said, it is enough. It is enough. And from that moment on, all we have to do is say yes to Jesus, and our sins are gone. Gone. There's a book, it's one of the earlier Frank Peretti books called Piercing the Darkness. It's the second of the series with all the angels. And there's one scene where the kind of heroine of the story gets saved. And it just describes, you know, the word of God came in the midst of all the angels that were surrounding her. And he touched her and her sins were gone. And that's what he'll do for us. He'll touch us and our sins will be gone. Because of the resurrection, because of his life, we can live. Jesus said in John, because I live, you also shall live. We have the freedom to live. We are free to live in Jesus because we live a resurrected life just like him. But we have to accept it. And I think that's what, you know, people say, well, I don't want to be a Christian because I have to do this, this, and this. Well, no, you don't have to. God will likely change you so that you'll want to make those changes. Yeah, God doesn't want you living in the same old gutter you came out of. He's got so much more for you. And he loves you enough that he gave his son for you, that you could know him. As Jesus prayed in John 17, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus the Messiah whom you have sent. That's what he wants from us, is that we know him. And yeah, he'll take away our sins. We'll be in right standing with God. and he'll start to work in us. We'll start a fellowship with him as we grow in our relationship with him. Remember earlier we said we're not only his servant and his child, we're his friend. As we grow in all three of those relationships with him, old things will, they already have passed away, but in our present reality, all those old things are going to start to pass away. As we give them to Jesus, as we lay them down for him, one by one, they'll start to pass away. And it's just so... Well, I go back to the Bebo Norman song we played earlier. That kind of love is so amazing. And that kind of sacrifice. I mean, Jesus took a chance on each one of us when he died for us. You know, because not everybody obviously is going to accept that love. So, I mean, Jesus took a great risk when he died for us. And Paul calls us ambassadors. And, you know, he says, we're ambassadors, imploring people to be reconciled to God. I quoted that earlier. And I just, there's such a burning in me today. I can't explain it. Just to let other people know. I don't know. This has kind of been growing. I don't know about Betty, you or Nan, but I just get the feeling it's too late to play anymore. We got to get down to business.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I think all Bible-believing Christians are feeling that same pulling, that mm-hmm. same intensity of we've got to get off dead center, and we've got to start focusing more on the kingdom and doing God's work. One of the things that impressed me the most about today's show is that the correlation between the Old Testament and the New Testament, between the prophecy and the actual happening is,
mm-hmm.
is that the Lord took upon himself. He didn't have to do this. In fact, I think sometimes when I was in children's ministry, that the children would look at one of us as a teacher and say, "Explain to me what happens, you know, when God forgives our sin." And it's truly a hard question to answer to children because, I mean, we can get into the theological aspect of what's it like, but to a child, that's where we have to be like. We have to be like children. We have to have the heart of a child. We have to go back and be sensitive. We've got to be aware of what's going on around us. The people that we encounter, the people that we see, is taking a piece of, like, say, tile that is dirty. And Jesus is the eraser. We're on a chalkboard. You know, Jesus is the eraser. He takes away all of those mathematical problems on the board that we don't understand as children. Or we take a wash rag and we wash the dirt off of our face. That's mm-hmm. what God did for us.
Mm-hmm.
We make it sometimes, Nan and Pastor Jim, I think we make it so difficult that, oh, well, I have to do this before I do that. You really don't have to. It's so simplistic. He is our intercessor.
Right.
He intercedes for us all the time. And once we grasp the aspect of this man called Jesus loves us, loves you, our listener, more than anything else in the world, if he would send his son Jesus to die for you, that is an unparalleled act of love that no father would ever do.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it because he loved us. And it's, again, I'm trying to make it so simplistic that even the most novice listener would understand, wow, he did that for me. I say, yeah, he did it for me. He did it for Nan. He did it for Pastor Marcia. He did it for Pastor Jim. And it just, such a, like you said, Pastor Jim, it's such an urgency in our spirit to intercede for the lost, to intercede for people who really actually, people need the Lord. That song that Pastor plays a lot, mm-hmm. People need the Lord. They really do. It's coming down to the nitty-gritty of between heaven and hell. You've got to choose where you want to go. And I know that sounds kind of harsh, but that's the urgency that I feel in my spirit.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I want to get to Nan right after our next song, There is a Redeemer by Keith Green. I think that's one of the most powerful songs ever written, because it sums up everything we've talked about on this show today.
You know, before we, many people, before they wind up accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they don't feel worthy. They feel unworthy. They say, look at what I have done. Look at what I have done in the past. Look at what I'm doing now. How can he love me? And he does. You know, we explored that in the first hour about how he has just insurmountable love for us and for each of us. And it doesn't matter what we have done. And he is our redeemer, as that song said. He is our redeemer. And I, if I recall correctly, Betty Simon was saying something about, we make it so hard. We make it so difficult. We make it so challenging. It's simple. Just ask Jesus as your personal Savior. Serve him, live for him, read the word, pray, find a good church to get in this Bible believing full gospel. Get, you know, move forward in that, you know, and you can, you know, it's just such a wonderful life to have. To have, and y'all were talking earlier about his BFF. He is my best friend. Betty said he is her best friend. He's all of our best friends. It's so cool.
It is. And, yeah, Betty, what you said about making it so difficult. Yeah, I mean, I've known people say, well, let me quit doing this or let me stop this before, you know, and before I come to God. Or, and it's like God wants you right where you're at because he'll give you the power to change if you want to change. You can't, well, Ephesians, for by grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. Mm-hmm. It's a gift from God. It's by God's grace that you're saved. There's no way you can earn it. You cannot do enough good works to earn your way into God's presence. It is strictly by grace because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of his death, burial, and resurrection. That's why we can come before the Father. So I just want to take a minute here, and I just want to pray for our audience. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, I just want to lift you up in prayer. So, Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you loved us enough to give us your Son. We thank you, Jesus, that you, in obedience, came to be our Savior and our Messiah. We thank you, Jesus, that you fulfilled the prophecies in your birth, your life, your death, and your resurrection. We thank you that you're going to fulfill them in your second coming. Lord, I just want to lift up all of our listeners to you, that if there's anyone out there today who doesn't know you, who's feeling the calling, the choosing to come to know you, Father, I pray that you would just move upon them and bring them to yourself. Oh, it's so simple. All you need to do is ask him. Just say, God, I need you. I need Jesus. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died and was raised again. And I take him as Lord of my life. It's that simple. And I pray, Lord God, that you would just move upon our listeners. And if there's other people out there, Lord, that have been listening and said, you know what, I've been a Christian for a long time, but I'm just not where I need to be. Father, I pray you would move upon them. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon them, Lord. Bring them back to a relationship, a full relationship with you. Father, where there's pain and hurt, where there's disease and brokenness, we pray life and health into those situations. Father, we thank you that you are a God of wholeness. You are the God of healing. You are our healer, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we give you glory and honor through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Betty, any last words before we go?
Well, I really appreciate being on the show with both of you. I think God has ordained us to be ministers of the gospel. And if I could, I would like to read from 2 Corinthians 4:16. This is for one of our listeners out there.
Amen.
Therefore, we do not lose heart. Through outwardly, we are wasting away. Yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweigh them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Betty. Thank you for being obedient and sharing that. Nan, any final words?
Well, my only thing is we've talked about Jesus being our best friend, and I just want to encourage people that he can and will be your best friend. You know, and on earth we have people that are close to us that we share with, that we consult with, that we ask for assistance with. We ask for them to pray for us. We ask them to go off and do things with us, go out to dinner, go to a movie, whatever. He is so much closer than even that. He is so much closer than that within our lives. And that's just what I want to leave the audience with, is that he is their best friend.
Amen.
If he's not, make him their best friend.
All right, you do that.
You do that.
Okay. Well, yeah, and I just want to remind everybody that, you know, God loves you. And it's an unconditional love that you can't earn. So you might as well just accept it, okay? Because there's so much on the other side of that acceptance that is so amazing. I mean, I've been a Christian for going on 43 years. And in all that time, yeah, there have been times I walked away. But God always drew me back. He always, always drew me back and brought me back to himself. And I love him. I love him forever for that. But I just want to say that trust in him, especially in these times. He is the solid, everlasting rock. I just want to remind our listeners also that if you are in the Tampa Bay area, we do meet at the Red Roof Inn on Wednesdays. We start our prayer meeting at 6 to 6:30. We have praise and worship and study of the Word starting at 6:30. And that is located at 3580 Olmerton Road in Clearwater. We also have this show, and we also have the Go Yard show on Thursdays at 6 o'clock. And also, Pastor is now doing a program in Spanish every week, which goes up on Starcom Network. So, as we've really, really talked about today, it's not far to Jesus. He's just right there. And we just encourage you to join us again next week for Living the Good Life, a radio ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries.
Safely to his side.